Welcome back, everybody. April 30th, NBA playoffs, round one in the bag. We're joined today by a very special guest, our good friend Ahmed. How are you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Glad to be here with y'all and, you know, ready to talk sports.
What
to
do, Ahmed?
Get it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We've been trying to get Ahmed on the pod for like years, man. Years. And we finally here, bro.
Finally
welcome.
Here.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
Happy to hear your takes, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, man, NBA playoffs round one in the books. Finally, bro, I thought nobody wanted to advance at first.
Okay, let's just talk about right away.
Let's get into the sweep.
Yeah, let's get into right away.
That's the man with the panties and sweep.
Elephant in the room right here regarding the NBA playoffs. I mean, we got the first round in the books. And now we have the Nets getting swept. Kyrie, KD going home for the playoffs first round. Getting swept by a upstart Celtics team.
Oh, my God.
And, I mean, in the last pod, you guys heard us. We talked about it. We thought this was going to be a very competitive series. And
We thought it was going to go to seven.
We were wrong.
We were bamboozled. Like,
wrong
so,
by three games. Exactly.
I mean, basically, straight up, like, Ahmed, like, straight up, man, what did you see in that series? And, like, how did the Celtics get, I mean, how did the Nets get swept? Like,
I mean, honestly, you know, I'd have to, you know, drop the ball on Ben Simmons, man. Like, the dude, when they made the trade for Harden and Simmons, you know, you were thinking, yo, you know, Simmons.
Dude is soft.
Yeah, you know, he's coming to a team, you know, already with KD, already with Kyrie. You know, he's going to make some noise. Turns out this dude just went to Brooklyn to put on some nice clothes.
He just wanted to flex on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy, too, because, like, we were watching, what, the game three last Saturday, and, like, we were looking at Brooklyn's bench. LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond.
The corpse of Blake Griffin,
the
by
corpse
the way.
Of Blake Griffin. Yeah. Who, I mean, he was making his shots, though. He was trying his best. But it's crazy, like, they have such a star-studded team. Like, you kind of forgot who's on the squad. It's just, like, everyone just defaults to KD and Kyrie. But they weren't, I mean, especially KD, I'm kind of really disappointed with the outcome. You would think the superstar status, the MVP status that KD is, guys, you'd think he would be able to will his team to victory, especially when he has a great sidekick in Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Kyrie Irving was never able to perform better than past his 39 point game, I think, in game one in Boston, which to me is just like, I feel like all Kyrie ever wanted was just that one moment.
It's not even that. I really think Ramadan caught up to him, bro. Like, it caught up to all of us.
Last 10 days, yeah. Definitely hard as hell.
You went up against the defensive player of the year, too. So, I mean, the Celtics did a really good job on KD defensively. You know, they were harassing
but
Kyrie. They weren't letting him get clean looks.
KD, to me, I don't care if they're harassing you, bro. You are goddamn near 7 foot tall. You better rise up and hit your shots. He was breaking everything, man. Like, he couldn't make a shot to save his life. Seriously.
Yeah, especially that last game that he played. I think they switched Game four, yeah. I think they switched Tatum on him. And, you know, he struggled with the length.
He struggled a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, struggled
a
lot.
And, you know, even during
Tatum's
that game.
Tatum's a baller.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Tatum's a dog.
He had 39 points, but it's still, like, just the shooting percentage wasn't efficient. And, like, you know, we're not expected seeing that from a world-class shooter like Kevin Durant. They're saying he is the best shooter. He even called himself a god. Which, don't get me wrong, I think he still is, like, the best in the world in that regard. You know, not every year is your year.
Yeah, let me give you guys my take on Kyrie for a second. So they got swept, went on the interview.
Yeah.
And he started talking about, I was a distraction, you know. I was a distraction for the team,
no shit,
you know,
Sherlock,
and I'm like,
what?
Yeah, dude, no shit. And the thing is, it's like, okay, I personally don't care if you're vaccinated or not. If you're vaccinated, cool. If you're not, that's fine. All right. But then Kyrie was like, all right, I'm not getting vaccinated. Okay, cool. Fine. You're not going to play home games in New York. All right, cool. You're going to have to deal with that. Are you still going to be able to get far in the playoffs, Kyrie? All right. Do what you will with that, you know? And then, you know, he's not playing home games. They went into a play-in tournament, barely got in there, gets swept, and it's just, it's enraging me because it's like, dude, yeah, no shit, you were a distraction. I wouldn't care, you know? I would not care if you know, he said all that, did all that, and then, you know, went far in the playoffs. But the fact that you went and did all that and you get swept, it's crazy, man. Like, yeah, no shit, you were...
Remember when they went on a 9-game losing streak earlier in the season? I think it was right before All-Star break, around that time. I mean, I feel like if they just got a couple of those games, they would have had better, like, luck with the seeding. They could have been 6 seed.
No, 100%.
I mean, no, it's just... It's to that detriment, it's also... You mentioned the distraction that Kyrie Irving was to the Nets. Like, yeah, no shit, you were a distraction. All they are going to talk about, you missed half the season. This is an unprecedented situation. We talk about load management for, like, star players, but you're literally willing to miss half a season because you didn't want to get a jab. And to each his own, I don't care. Like, do your thing. I mean, I've gotten fucking vaxxed, and I've gotten the booster, and I'm still on COVID. Like, so I get it. I get to each his own, and
but
I
you better prove us wrong.
He stood 10. Yeah. He kind of did, because his whole thing was more so political on the political end of it.
Yeah, right. He stood 10 toes down.
Yeah, he stood 10, because they can allow, New York State would allow, what, away players who are unvaccinated to play, but he couldn't because he's an employee of the state.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. Oh, what? That was the case? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Away players who aren't vaccinated are allowed to
play. Oh, that's a double standard.
Yeah, no, that's what
there was a point where they played the Knicks, and this man was literally sitting on, like, the sideline with no mask on in New York State. I mean, in New York City. Makes no sense.
That's insane.
It was stupid. It was stupid. But, no, like, you can't just... Look, you're a professional basketball player. KD's a god, in his own words. You can't just come up and be like, I'm going to just ball out every now and then. You need the rigors of the full 82-game season. You're a professional. You can't just... You ain't LeBron, bro. You can't just... Even LeBron, man. You can't just be, like, half-assing it, man. And that's why I'm really upset with Kyrie. Like, dude, at the end of the day, you let your team down. But this was going to be my point, KG. The NBA is now a league where no one wants to work. No one wants to be a professional.
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons started the war against working.
They want somebody else to freaking... They want somebody else to do the work for them. LeBron bring all the star players to the Lakers. Everyone just wants to win that easy ring. No one wants to ever do the work in. I respect Dame Lillard. I respect players like Bradley Beal. I respect the Bulls and DeMar DeRozan. I respect Giannis and that type of team. Because... These are teams. This is sports. This is why we like the game. This is why we watch the game. Mm-hmm. We don't watch it for even the Warriors for that matter. The Warriors are even. Everyone talks about the Warriors being the first super team. It's like, no, they work. They work at it.
No, you can literally
they make
you can
Kardashian proud.
You can clearly tell the teams who are actually, like, putting in the work and clearly grinding and actually have that drive and motivation
Warriors,
to get that.
Yeah.
And
the Celtics are the biggest example of that.
Yeah,
Celtics are Warriors.
The Celtics coach, he's like, we're not running away from nobody. Like, everyone's talking about the Nets. We're not running away from nobody.
Well, what about
and
the
that's
Bucks
the attitude
too?
I need.
The Bucks as well.
The Bucks,
yeah.
The Heat, like, yo, like, that playoff series, the way they closed out against the Hawks, they didn't even let the Hawks get off a final shot to tie the game. That's just phenomenal. Heat's are, like, a very defensive team.
So no, there's some lazy motherfuckers in the NBA,
so
bro.
That's just what makes it really upsetting to me, just because, like, this was the matchup we all wanted, you know? We wanted it more so, like, later on in the playoffs, but we got a first round, you know? We got a first round. And
they got swept.
They got swept. It was one of the worst playoff series ever.
There's two completely different basketball teams playing each other.
It was one team
that actually came to play, was
playing
100%
for everything.
Prepared. Yeah.
You know, 100% prepared and had everything to play for, and another team that was just there to beat just because, like, we got an invitation.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're here.
We were lucky enough to
we
make the seventh seed.
To be here, like, entitlement. The Nets are an entitled freaking team right now.
No, like, and I said, the fact that they even, like, had to play in for a spot is insane to me.
And Steve Nash, I gotta say, Steve Nash, I don't know, like, you have a star-studded bench, like, you have, like, some role players in there, like, why is Blake Griffin, why are you putting in Blake Griffin to play, like, to kind of play hero ball when you haven't played him, like, for a whole month?
He looked gassed.
He did, because he was gassed.
This man was had, like, a three-point shootout with Jaylen Brown.
Exactly.
Jaylen Brown won that battle.
Yeah, he won that battle easily.
By the way, Jaylen Brown, also Muslim.
Yeah.
Maybe, I'm not sure, but participating in Ramadan as well.
Yeah, that's what
that's
I was thinking.
That's crazy, too, because, like...
My sister told me, I think.
I mean, like, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, that That duo is here. They have arrived into the NBA.
Marcus Smart.
They've been there. They've been there, but like...
Even Al Horford was putting them away.
Just how they closed out that series. Jaylen Brown hitting clutch shots. Jason Tatum taking over the game. And then getting it done on the defensive end too. Like, that's what you want to see in playoff basketball. Yeah. That's really what you want to see.
Now they get the Bucks in the second round. What do y'all think?
Bucks?
That's going to be...
I don't know.
I know we said seven for the Nets. Well, I said seven for the series between the Nets and Celtics, but... I take my statement back. I was wrong. Bucks and Celtics are going to seven.
You know, for me, it kind of hinges on Chris Middleton, how healthy he is.
Because, yeah, he is out.
Good point.
He is out.
I do believe he did miss the first round.
He did.
Correct, right?
Well, I think he played one game, and then, like, he had this sprained MCL diagnosis after, like, game two or game three.
Right.
One of the two. But you bring up a great point.
Yeah, because he's like the second option for the Bucks, you know, like right literally. After Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's going to be interesting to watch in that playoff series is who's going to step up alongside Giannis. Because we know Giannis can shoulder the load and kind of take over a game if he really wants to. But after what we saw with how the Celtics kind of neutralized a team that has KD and Kyrie...
I'm going Celtics, dude.
I'm going Celtics, too. I'm going Celtics. Hey. I like the Celtics in this one.
I like the Celtics. No, I mean...
Nothing against the Bucks, you know, I'm in love with how the Celtics are playing. They have the attitude. They have the swagger that I want to see from a team in the playoffs right now.
No, I mean, you have a great point because, like, me personally, I want the Celtics to win not only because they just have, like, a great group of guys around them, but, like, I also want to see a new face... in this NBA championship.
I'm telling you, the Celtics,
you know,
Celtics,
I think they're that new the face, you know.
Yeah, they the got
that
number. The Seas have definitely saved the NBA.
Yeah, yeah, they got the number two seed for a reason.
Yeah,
they're a good team.
I'm going to go with the Bucks, bro, because they're the defending champs, and you know, you ask who's going to step up. Last year when we were discussing the Bucks in the final, who needs to step up to for the Bucks to win the championship? Drew Holiday stepped up in the big moments. So, he's going to step up. Then you got Bobby Portis, fan favorite.
Bipolar,
he's not good at all.
Look,
you even have Grayson Allen starting to ball out too.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like the Bucks have too much hype for the Celtics to take. I mean, Marcus Smart is going to have to foul his
outside
ass
of
off.
Who you're looking at it right now. I see, like, I'm looking at Giannis, and outside, who else going to step up? Serge Ibaka.
What about Grayson Allen?
His brother,
Phineas. Is he going to step up?
What about Duke prodigy Grayson Allen?
Prodigy
anger
Grayson
management. Psychopath Grayson.
But if you look at it, like, I mean, just matchup wise, and Ahmed, you hit it on the head. Like, if Chris Middleton's not there, like, you got Jrue Holiday. I don't think Jrue Holiday's getting past on Marcus Smart. Like,
yeah. I don't think Marcus Smart's going to be tasked with guarding Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, because see, look, the thing is, like, we know how dominant Giannis is, right?
Exactly.
Like, he can, you know, put people on a poster on a nightly basis, right? So, what the Celtics will do, they're going to try and, you know, populate the paint. They're going to, you know.
And Thies, yeah. Thies is a low-key good defender. Like, mm-hmm. Thies, he can get it done down there in the paint, in my opinion. He might get bullied by Giannis, but like you mentioned, straight up, they're really fill the paint in.
Yeah,
and not let Giannis get that in the paint.
Exactly. They're going to try and pack the paint. So what happens is you got to have good shooters around him. So, you know, when he is double-teamed or even triple-teamed in the paint, you know, he can just kick it out to someone.
If they're not hitting their shot, it's going to be bad if the Bucks aren't hitting their shots.
What about Pat Connaughton?
No, bro, he got
threes. Like, you know what I'm
saying?
These
are some role players that I don't have that much faith in going up against the Celtics team. I don't have much faith in
right,
going up against the
Celtics. Let's break this down.
Team.
The Celtics, all right, this is a big three, right? You know, or it's like one great player and two, like, you know what I'm saying?
Dude, Jaylen Brown.
Two defensive effort.
Jaylen
players.
Brown's a superstar, man.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown, he balled out. He balled out, bro. He balled out.
I wouldn't say he's a superstar. Yeah, Jason Tatum's a superstar.
No, they're, yeah.
Marcus Smart, like, and I'll put Marcus Smart as a second player, bro. He's NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Like, you got to put it up there.
Well, Celtics are also running with Al Horford and Daniel Tice. Or ties.
Oh, man, Al Horford's clutch, man. I fucking hate Al Horford.
And Grant Williams is great.
But people
that
L find
too.
A way to fucking pull up big in the playoffs.
I got Brook Lopez over both of them.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing, bro. The Bucks have size and height. They got height, size, and heart.
I just don't think it's enough. I mentioned it. I just think the Celtics coming off this win against the Nets, it could be kind of a letdown, though. I could see that. I could see, like, a lot of emotion playing into this the first round game in the Nets. And, you know, you sweep them. But I think, like, having swept the Nets, not one win. They went, they got two at home, four in a row. Like, I'm looking at you, bro. They swept the Nets. This team, the Nets, and you guys, I really don't think you guys are thinking about it. Like, this team, the Nets, was the favorite to win it all. The Nets were the favorite to win it all. Yeah, they were favorite to win it all. And this team, Celtics team, no one gave them a chance, swept them. We didn't give them a chance. They swept them. Not one, not a general sweep. They didn't get one game. They swept them.
They got the clean sweep.
I think for a team as young and as hungry, a team that wants it as much as the Celtics do, what does that do for your confidence? Your confidence is probably through the roof right now. You're gonna let, I'm not letting Giannis, like, and they know this is the defending champs coming in now that they got to face. They know that. They know what the challenge they're up against. You think they're not going to be prepared for that? They're going to be prepared. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they... I don't think it's going to be a sweep because I think the Bucks are good, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see, like, a gentleman sweep again. Like, I think these teams are playing on fire right now. The Celtics are. We saw their games, man. They, like, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they have been playing lights out.
You know, I kind of liken Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum as kind of like 1A, 1B.
I love it, yeah.
Like, you remember Kobe and Shaq days, right, on the Lakers? So, you know, I would kind of liken Tatum to, like, Shaq and then Brown as Kobe, you know, whereas Shaq, you know, he can hold his own, but, like, if you need, like, a sidekick, you know, to say, then, you know, Jaylen Brown, he's the dude who can, like, step up for you.
I just don't see, like, I just see, like, Jaylen, Jason Tatum, though, in this playoffs. Like, I just think he's just not going to have a bad game. I think he's going to be on a tear. Like, Devin Booker bubble tear.
Yeah, like, babyface Tatum, right?
Yeah, baby. I'm telling you. Babyface Tatum.
I'm telling you, man. I'm trying to tell you this guys. Guy. Like, you guys are underestimating the defending champs. You know, I'm not, that's not saying this series is not going to be, like, competitive. Like, I think it's going to be very, very competitive.
I agree with you.
But y'all gotta. Y'all
it just depends, like, for me, for Chris Middleton. Like, if Chris Middleton was healthy, I'd be good. I'd be good with it.
Y'all act like the Celtics beat, like, the greatest team of all time. On paper, it looked nice, that matchup, but, bro, they beat a deflated Nets team. Whereas the Bucks are coming off a more competitive
series. How would you say they defeat a deflated Nets team? They literally just got Kyrie back. They have KD.
Bro, they had the big trade, and too.
Ben Simmons was supposed to play in that
series. They got finesse.
They weren't in peak form.
I think they'd be in peak form. Because expecting Ben Simmons
to play. They didn't have continuity. They didn't play together. Like, Kyrie and KD didn't play a lot together.
The whole team barely played together.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? They're expecting a non-shooter, Ben Simmons, to come in and help the series, you know? But it just didn't happen. Anyways... the Bucks have a well all around team. Like I said, they beat the Bulls, and the Bulls, you know, the Bulls weren't a joke this year.
Yeah,
they weren't.
But the Bulls
took care of business.
But you're talking about but they beat the Bulls. But the Bulls,
we had injuries Bulls. Too. There were injuries.
Yeah, they had injuries too, and the Bulls kind of. The Bulls is the first time in the playoffs since.
What I'm trying to say is the Nets were
2016, 2017. No one's worried about the Bulls.
What I'm trying to say is the Nets are clearly one of the worst playoff teams that participate in the playoffs.
Yeah, they couldn't get one win.
I don't think it was a result.
Well, they haven't gotten a win yet.
I wouldn't say that. Let me finish. I don't think it was a result of their matchup. Like, because they look bad because they got matched up against a very good Celtics team.
I don't think
the Celtics enough credit. Don't get me wrong. I think the Celtics did a phenomenal job, but I just also think the Nets were just flat in general. Anybody would have beat
them. Okay, let me put it to you this way. If the Nets were to play the Bulls, Nets are winning that series, correct?
No.
Nets aren't beating the Bulls.
Not with what I saw.
KG would.
Bro, because at the end of the day, like, even though the Boston played really good series, they had some good looks, you know, the good looks that they had, they just weren't falling in. It just wasn't their, you know what I'm saying, like, they're not in peak athletic performance mode right now.
So to answer your question, you said if the Nets played the Bulls, would the Nets beat the Bulls?
Would they advance in the series?
Okay. If it was a healthy team, if both teams were healthy, and let's just say the Nets still, you know, didn't, Ben Simmons just still doesn't want to play, I feel like the Bulls could beat the Nets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like the Bulls could beat them.
I don't know about all that, guys.
I mean, for me, I think it all hinges on coaching. Whereas, you know, we saw in the Celtics-Nets series, the Boston coach. Steve Nash
didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, the Boston's coach, Udoka, he was running circles around Steve Nash.
Oh, 100%.
You know, what you brought up earlier, you know, bringing Blake Griffin. He literally woke up Blake Griffin and was like, hey, we're down in the game, just come in there and do your thing.
I forgot you're on the team, buddy.
He's like, I'm still hungover.
They have LaMarcus Aldridge on their team. Why aren't they utilizing, like,
Andre Drummond, like, all these players. Seth Curry actually did all right. Seth Curry's on their team, too.
Like, why aren't you utilizing Seth Curry was balling for real.
Yeah. Seth Curry, I feel like, was the
Patty
only
Mills, too.
Like. Yeah, Seth Curry and Patty Mills were, like, the only, I feel like, consistent players that I've actually, like, actually...
And I think
did
like,
some kind of work,
if,
you know.
I really do believe if like the coaching was better on Steve Nash's end,
absolutely,
just like fixing up your rotations, man. Just it was just way too much. Like you could tell, like they're just depending on KD and Kyrie. They're literally just depending on KD and Kyrie. But it's just it wasn't getting done. It just wasn't getting done.
Yeah, you know what it kind of seemed like to me, like throughout like the duration of the series. It kind of looked like KD and Kyrie were the ones coaching the team.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Steve Nash. Yeah. The LeBron treatment.
Yeah.
All right, well...
Let's talk about the other team.
Yeah, let's finish off the East. We got the Raptors and the 76ers. Easily, I thought this was going to be a Doc Rivers choke series.
Yeah, it was almost a choke.
I thought it was going to be a sweep.
It was almost a choke. I thought Raptors would have it in six. 76ers just took care of business, and you know that's what you want to do. If you're a 76ers fan, that's exactly what you want to see. Took care of business. You got your revenge in Toronto. But the big story out of this one is Joel Embiid in the last game, orbital fracture, out indefinitely
mild concussion.
I do expect him to return the series.
Absolutely.
Also with the Heat and the Hawks, that one was just. Pretty much Heat domination.
Yeah. Hawks stole one.
Deserve a playoff spot.
Yeah. The Hawks stole one game, but you know, the Heat, they're number one for a reason.
And Bulls and Bucks. Bulls, we already talked about that.
Yeah,
game.
They're just kind of
overpowered when it comes to the Bucks. It just overpowered. It's too much to deal with.
Mm.
But so for the 76ers, they're going to go up against the Heat now in the second round. We talked about Joel Embiid. I expect him to play in the series. I think he may miss a game or two, just depending on how it works. I mean, orbital fracture. I mean, we've seen this before many times. I think he's just gonna get wear the face shield and then call it a day. But
100%.
This kind of concerns me for the Sixers, in that it's another year where I just kind of feel like I've been seeing Ben Simmons get. Not Ben Simmons again. I don't know why we're talking about Ben
James Harden?
Joel Embiid. I just keep seeing him just injured at crucial moments in the season.
Yeah, man.
This is something that I'd be worried as a Sixers fan moving forward. Hopefully he's fine. Hopefully he can play. But if he does miss significant time in the series, James Harden.
It's got to be the James Harden
show.
James Harden?
Hey, man, he's got to show up.
I feel like Maxie,
he's got to show up.
Their second best player now. Maxie kind of like started to fall off like towards the end of that series, but still.
I mean, it can't depend on him to win every game. That's why you have James Harden and Joel Embiid
they
there,
need
too.
They Tobias Harris to step up. I mean, yeah.
Remember Tobias Harris last season? He's coming off the bench.
You give me 38 minutes.
He's giving good
minutes.
Points.
Like the last game, 38 minutes, you give me 19 points. I mean, I guess that's all right.
Man, when the Sixers got Tobias Harris, they were expecting him to be the one that takes him over. They were expecting a lot out of him, and he's just an average basketball player, you know, at the end of the day, so.
Yeah, what do you guys think of, like, James Harden? He actually, you know, got to a team where they're actually advancing into the playoffs. And,
not because
you know,
of him.
Yeah. No, yeah,
it's not like, look at that stat line for Joel Embiid, 33-10 on 36 minutes. So this is why it's going to be very interesting to see. Like, I'm going to love this matchup between Jimmy Butler and James Harden. That's going to be a really great matchup in this series. So that's going to be something to really look forward to. And
Jimmy's winning that matchup.
Jimmy plays defense.
Jimmy cracked Cornyn. I don't care.
I want to see the reincarnation of James Harden, honestly. I want to see if James Harden can really, like, exercise his demons that he's seen in Houston the past forever, for as long as we can remember in these playoffs, and play to his MVP ability. You know, we miss out on this KD Kyrie. Like, now James Harden, you got to step it up. Joel Embiid is not going to be there. I expect Joel to at least miss one game. I definitely expect Joel to at least miss one game.
I mean, I'll say this, man. I really, like, from the way that I was watching the Heat play the Hawks in that, you know, that last game, you know, they were just incredibly defensive-minded. You know, they could not, like, I think there was, like, probably, like, 5 seconds left. You know, Hawks have the ball. They're, like, inbounding the ball. They couldn't inbound the ball. They couldn't do it.
Yeah, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, they just got a defensive stop. Like, they are so, and like, you know, the way that they were just playing, like, zone, you know, it was insane because they were just, like, I think I saw this this one thing on Twitter. It was just, like, you know, Trae Young had the ball, and they switched on him, like, three times. Three different players just switched on him. And that was just incredible for me to see. Like, they just have such a defensive-minded, you know, mindset. And I think that's going to be a really big problem, you know, when they play the 76ers.
We talked about it in the last pod. We talked about how the Heat, I mean, they're 2 years removed from being in the NBA Finals, you know. This team knows what it takes to get there. They played tough opponents in their road to the championship, in their road to the finals, the bubble finals that year. But this is going to be a series where I think it all, again, just like the other Eastern series, it just all depends on the health of Joel Embiid.
Yeah, of course.
But for the Sixers, this is why you made the James Harden trade, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah. This is exactly why you made the James Harden trade.
Right. Not putting the pressure all on one guy.
Yeah, this is exactly why you made the James Harden trade. And it's crazy, too. Mo, you mentioned Maxey. Tyrese Maxey has been playing really well. So, like, I don't know if James Harden... It could be that James Harden doesn't have, like, the trust in these guys yet outside of Joel Embiid. He might have it in Maxey, but, like, Tobias Harris, Danny Green, for example. Does he have the trust in them to, like, make the plays and, like, pass them the ball? Or is James Harden going to go back to his ways and just, like, try to be the superstar?
Actually, all I know is that he's been fucking the wrong strippers.
Actually, I have a bit of a hot take on James Harden. So, you know, this might cause a whirlwind, but, you know, Harden, he's 32 going on 30, going to 33,
he's old
right?
as shit. Yeah, he's old as shit.
Yeah, I think at this point, you know, it's, you know, with the expectation that he's kind of moving out of his prime now.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, he won't be as nimble as before. Like, even...
So, you thinking, you see him in, like, a CP3 kind of way?
Perhaps if he's able to fine-tune his game. Like, because, you know, James Harden, first and foremost, he's a scorer, right?
Of course.
He's out there to draw fouls and, you know, hit threes and hit big shots. Now, you know, with him, you know, getting older and his athleticism, you know, starting... And you could see with Westbrook, you know, Westbrook, same age. You know, he wasn't the same this year. Mm-hmm. You know, even getting to the rim, like, come on, Westbrook, you can dunk that. You can make that layup, you know?
Finishing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think the same thing is starting to happen with Harden. Now, if he can adjust his game... You know, then, you know, maybe even in this series, maybe the Sixers, you know, they have a fighting chance against the Heat.
See, but, another issue is with the rule change, he's not getting as many foul calls and he's not getting to the line as much. Thank God. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, now you actually have to really fight for the score, not just flail your arms and foul.
Selling it.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, I really still think the Sixers are going to come on top of the series. I just, you know, like,
give me the Heat in six.
Heat in six?
Heat in six.
Because, like, to your point, I know the Heat are 2 years off of NBA Finals appearance. So are the Lakers. But then they're all watching at home.
I mean, but they're Cancun. Know the Lakers
self-destructed.
Yeah, that's David Alfonso.
Give me the Heat.
The Lakers didn't work for that. Yeah. The Heat worked
Sixers
for that.
And seven.
Sixers and seven? I'm going with Heat in seven.
This is a tough one for me. I still don't like the Sixers. I will take the Heat. Give me the Heat in five.
Gentlemen, sweet.
You know, I think they're just a better team overall.
You know, I'll say this. You know, obviously it depends on, you know, Embiid's health. If everyone is healthy, okay, give me Embiid at, like, 70%, right? As long as everyone is on the court, I'll say this series will go to seven, and I'll choose the Sixers.
Okay.
You
know, so I got three Sixers.
Because, you know, like, I can't be the only rational one on this podcast.
You don't even watch basketball, bro.
All right.
I watch the highlights.
All right, let's get into the Western side. We have Timberwolves versus Grizzlies.
I don't think we saw any type of anything crazy come out the Western side. I think with that, the Jazz Mavericks series, I think, was probably the most entertaining. Just out of, you know, the stars that were playing in the game. And it was probably just the most intriguing one.
All the games were pretty close, well, except the fourth game.
I mean, or the fifth game. In that one, well, in the entire playoffs, we did not, the higher seed one, we didn't see any upsets. Mm-hmm. In the first round, at least. But Western side, it was kind of, I would say, it kind of looks like domination by the higher seeded teams. I'm happy for the Mavericks. I believe this is Luka's first playoff
series win.
Yeah. So exciting to see the Mavericks. Suns and Mavericks, that might be one of those classic, like, Dirk Nowitzki, Steve Nash shootouts from the early 2000s. Like, that might be a very good series. Expect some fireworks in that series. But the Warriors and the Grizzlies, Warriors and the Grizzlies too. That one, I mean, I think we can all agree. I don't know, but if we can all agree, but I think Warriors are sweeping that. I think the Grizzlies.
Oh, wow, really?
I think the Grizzlies
damn,
kind of came into this playoff like thinking they're the shit. And then I think the Timberwolves kind of brought them back to life with kind of with those going into game six. I just don't think they have what it takes to go up against the Warriors. I really don't think they have what it takes to go up against the Warriors.
With the Grizzlies,
too much.
What I saw was, bro, a team that's just willing to come back no matter, like, just keep fighting.
But it's fighting against the Timberwolves, though. This is against the Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves, yeah, dude.
This is the Timberwolves we're talking about.
The Timberwolves had to come back.
They did. Yeah. Like, I'd argue that, like, all right, it's an NBA team. It doesn't matter. Like, it's still hard, but it's the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why when we get to my call-out segments, but...
Oh, wait, sorry. I meant to say the Grizzlies. I probably said Timberwolves.
Yeah,
earlier, but
Grizzlies.
Yeah.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah. No, but I agree with you, bro. Like, those are hard games to win, too, especially if you have to come back and win it. But at the same time, I think the Warriors are fucking finally back.
Yeah, they're back. 100%
they back. They got Jordan Poole, and I really think that they're going to win this series 4-2.
Yeah, it could be. I think it's either going to be six games or they're going to get one game. You know,
yeah, the I Grizzlies think it's got to be four or five games.
Yeah, four or five games.
How about how Ja Morant played in the series against the Timberwolves?
Well, he didn't play that well, brother. He's not been playing well. Like, he had like 14 points or something like that.
I think 17 might have been his highest point total. Maybe. I could be wrong on that.
To be honest with you,
crazy. Yeah.
Each and every single one of those games in the series, like, outside like the first like 5 minutes, I watched like the last like 3 minutes and... That's when, to me, Ja Morant stepped up, especially in Game 5.
Yeah. Scoop layup. Big, big, big dunk at the end.
And I kind of feel bad because, like, I thought Anthony Edwards had a phenomenal series. And, like, bro, they need to get Anthony Edwards off the Timberwolves, in my opinion.
It's his team, not Karl Anthony Towns' team. Also, other thing about the Grizzlies, too, like, they're playing outside of Ja Morant. Because, obviously, you know, they're going to fucking strap up Ja Morant. Like, Desmond Bain.
Yeah.
I don't even know who the Dylan fuck Brooks. He was.
Yeah, I thought he played football.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, to that point, though, Omar, I mean, a little bit of a hot take here. Me personally, you know, obviously points win you games, but I personally also think, like, you know, the points are just a part of your stat line, because the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, Ja Morant, 17 points, he had 11 assists though.
Yeah.
You know, I like that. Yeah. I think his last game, the game he had last night, that was a good game. That was a good game by him. You know, I mean, he didn't have like, you know, he didn't dominate the game in terms of points, but damn well, he shared the sugar.
Okay, so that's why I'll give the Grizzlies credit on that end.
Yeah.
There's no kind of like one superstar in the team. They actually play great team ball.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
They're giving Desmond Bane more minutes than Ja Morant.
Yeah, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, we mentioned him. Jaren Jackson, like, I gotta give this guy credit. Like, a lot of people saw him as a draft bust when he was in
14 rebounds,
Phoenix.
Dude.
I think he was in Phoenix first. But he's just been working his tail off ever since he's been traded to Memphis. Desmond Bane, you guys mentioned him. Brandon Clark, like, they give him, the guys they're getting and putting on the floor, they're giving you great, efficient minutes.
Of course.
And that's what you need in the
Tyus
playoffs.
Jones off the bench, too. Do y'all remember who Tyus Jones is?
Yeah.
Bro, national champion, Duke. Literally, like, national championship MVP. Tyus Jones. He just kept hitting clutch out.
And
showing off in the playoffs. Like, last night, he put the dagger.
To me, though, I still say, like, Omar, you mentioned it. I just think the Warriors are back. I think the Warriors
No, they're back. They're back. They're back.
I think there's just nothing stopping a Warriors-Suns matchup in Eastern in the Western Conference Finals, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, the thing for me is that, you know, I do agree with you guys. You know, the Warriors are back. But, you know, we saw, like, near the later stages of the regular season, the Warriors kind of started cooling off a bit.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Warriors, you know, when they're on their game and clicking, like...
Unbeatable.
Unbeatable. No one's stopping them. The problem is, you know, when they do get cold, what happens? You know, when the threes aren't falling, you know, what happens then?
Are they going to play through Draymond? Are they going to play through Jordan Poole?
Are they going to play through Gary Payton Jr.? I'm still waiting to see, like, Klay Thompson, like, have his kind of
breakout
comeback game.
Yeah, like, at least a 30-point game.
We've seen that with Steph, but, like, more so, I just talked about with the Grizzlies, like, they have guys that give them efficient minutes. Mention it with the freaking the Warriors too, and Omar just pulled up their roster. I didn't even know Otto Porter was on there. Otto Porter's on there. He was getting 24 minutes and only three for five. Oh my god, that's so bad. 24 minutes, only 3 points.
Autopilot.
But like
autopilot.
So I mean, they're getting great efficiency from some of their players. You mentioned Gary Payton, Jordan Poole. Klay's up there, yeah. But, you know, once Klay starts getting a feel for it and getting back in his rhythm and groove, he could just be in a slump for all we know.
Klay's not playing that bad, though, dude, to be honest with you.
I don't see Klay
average. Yeah.
15 points in a win is not bad.
He's 15 points, 9 rebounds, dude.
That's not the Klay I remember.
It's not the Klay any of us remember.
That's not Klay.
It's not. It's not. But, I mean, I'm not saying he's not playing. I'm not saying he's playing horribly, though.
I only know Game 6 Klay. That's it.
I mean, the man's been out of basketball for over 2 years.
Yeah, get the man some slack, man.
That's what I'm saying. That when he starts getting his rhythm back underneath him, I think they're unstoppable.
No, I think the series, though, I think Klay Thompson's going to finally get into a rhythm, though.
Yeah.
I think that's why I can see that for sure.
That's why I just think, I think, like, Warriors, when it comes to Warriors,
he just has to activate his playoff mode.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying it's going to be a sweep for me for Warriors and Grizzlies. Yeah.
What do y'all think about the Mavs and Suns series? I don't think we...
Suns, Mavs, I think that's going to be like I told you, it's going to be a classic old duel of, are they in the same division, too?
Suns are in the Pacific and Mavericks Southwest.
Southwest? Okay. Yeah. I think this is just going to be an old-fashioned, like, old 2000s matchup. Like, it's going to be very physical. Mm-hmm. I'm going to like this game. I'm going to like this series a lot. I think this is going to be the first series that goes to seven. I could see a seven-game series, and I got the Suns in this one.
Suns in six, bro. I don't know.
I can see a seven-game series.
I see Suns in six as well. I actually do like the way the whole team is playing. Like, DeAndre Ayton's playing well. You got Jay Crowder.
Suns are on a mission. You know, they went to the finals last year. They lost. They could have won.
Yeah.
They could have won. They gave the Bucks a run for their money. But they're on a mission this year, you know.
CP3 played extraordinarily well.
14-14. Hasn't been done since the 1997 playoffs. Perfect score.
I think he's back.
Yeah, he's back. And he's definitely back. I got a hot take for y'all, man.
He's inconsistent.
He's inconsistent, but, you know, you got seven games.
I got the Suns in five games. Four or five games.
No respect for the Mavs.
No, I mean, it's just like, I don't know, man. The Suns are just more experienced. They have, like, a very, like, solid, you know, group of guys around them. You know, CP3, obviously this man is on a mission. The Suns in general are pissed off because they
got Devin Booker back.
Got Devin Booker. He's back. You know what I'm saying?
Which is insane because the prognosis was he would miss the series, the first round series, and possibly some of the second round series. But he came back in two games, I believe.
Yeah.
Bro, he yelled at the Pelicans bench, "I'm back. I'm back." And he came back next game.
His best Cam Newton impersonation.
Yeah, exactly. I'm back!
His voice got so high for
that. Back for one game.
Nah, but yeah, man, I agree with KG, bro. I agree with KG because, like, man, you know, the Suns are just, yeah, they're just a more talented team. There's the Mavs, you know, with all due respect, their only superstar is Luka.
The Mavs roster.
Let's not forget, this is a roster that has Davis Bertans.
Spencer Dinwiddie, Davis.
Reggie Bullock, Dwight Powell, Luka.
Don't sleep on Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson, pretty good.
He's good. But, like, the thing is, it's like...
This looks like the All-Stars from the Euro I'm looking at.
But let me tell you, I have yet to see the Suns really dominate the series.
Oh, my God, Dwight Powell didn't score.
11 minutes, yeah. Only one rebound.
That's awful.
He's got to he had to have been hurt.
There's no way.
You know, like,
who the heck is Maxi Kleber?
Actually, I have a bone to pick with Maxi Kleber because I saw him in the playoffs last season, and this dude was clanking every three, man.
Oh!
Every three. No, he was missing every three.
Oh, really?
Clanking. I was really clanking. Why are you guys passing him the ball then if he's missing every three?
Must be building a house with all those bricks.
1-for-4, 0-for-1. It's not that great.
Yeah, not that great.
1-for-5.
So, let's remember, this team runs through Luka.
Yeah. Reason why I'm saying the Suns in six, because I haven't yet to see the Suns really sweep somebody in the last few years.
They swept the Lakers.
No. I think it was 4-1. Oh, they beat him in six. Yeah. But still, that basically might have been a sweep.
They swept the Nuggets
last year. Yeah, they did. Yeah, remember?
Suns and four guy,
yeah.
Now, was it four?
Yeah. It was Suns and four. Dude, remember Suns and
Four? Suns and Four guy!
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay, but they swept the... Okay, but...
the Nuggets, they had the MVP. They had the MVP, though.
Okay, but we have come to the conclusion that although Jokic is the MVP, he cannot carry a team on his own.
You saw how gassed Jokic looked in, like, Game 1 or Game 2 versus the Warriors?
I think he's fat.
He's fat as hell. He's a fat king, though. Yeah. Fat MVP.
But who was more gassed, Blake Griffin or Jokic?
Probably Jokic. He's fat.
He'll put in more work. More minutes.
But those minutes got to Blake Griffin.
So we already know it's going to be a Suns and Warriors Western Conference.
I think it was just set up that way from the get-go. Yeah. Like I said, the Warriors, fine-tuned, well-oiled machine. Suns are trying to seek revenge. Eastern side. I got Celtics and Heat.
Advancing.
That's where we finish. Yeah.
I got Bucks and Heat for Eastern.
It's crazy to me, too. I got to talk about it real quick. It's just like how the NBA kind of landscape changed all of a sudden. Ever since, I kind of want to say since LeBron went to...
The Lakers.
Mm-hmm. We thought it was just going to be kind of like still super team domination. We were just going to see like the generic teams, Warriors, Lakers, Nets.
I think it's the end of an era.
Yeah, no, I think we talked about it in the last part. I think the changing of the guard, the young Bucks here, the Ja Morants, Lucas, Trae Young's, like they're starting to make a name for themselves, and the playoffs. Now the Celtics are coming back up, so I'm really excited. I think the NBA kind of fixed its issue they had in, I think, the mid-2010s with just the same teams going to the finals over and over again, whatever team LeBron was on. So, I don't even know. Like, was it because, like, the talent just wasn't there around that time in the NBA?
Yeah, LeBron was kind of taking bumps to the finals.
He was.
Yeah. Now we got a little bit better, like star-studded team. Not even star-studded, but, like, teams with better above-average players.
Yeah.
I think, Ahmed, you hit it on the head real quick. Like, I think it is kind of... More, I'd say changing of the guard, but I think you put it really good way in a term where we talked about declining health of players. You know, a lot of these players, LeBron, this is the most injury-riddled season. A lot of the stars that we loved, Russell, James Harden, they're on the tail end of their career, CP3. This is their last hurrah. They only got two, three more years max.
Yeah, know? And like you can even throw in Anthony Davis. We know he's 28, yeah, he, 29, but
I didn't want to throw him in there for that reason. But it's just like he still is from that era of basketball.
Right? Yeah,
but he's kind of been always injury prone.
Right. Know? Yeah, and you know another thing, and you know you brought up a good point as well. You know, we're kind of starting to see, like, the ill effects of, like, assembling super teams. Because look what the Nets had to do to assemble, you know, KD, Kyrie.
What, they don't have picks to 2027 or something like that?
Exactly. They mortgaged their future for now. And then look what happened. The whole thing just boom.
And they have no bench on top of it. Like,
exactly.
You're not even going to utilize the people, like, these star players that you're bringing in to make this so-called super team.
Exactly. And look at the Lakers. Look what the Lakers had to do to, you know, bring on Westbrook.
They literally gave the Wizards a future. They gave the Wizards their future right there. Literally. Like, The Wizards now have stuff to do. Like, okay, we can build around Kuzma. We will just roll with Kuzma and Beal. Why not? We can do that.
Yeah, and you know, as you can see, the Lakers, they didn't have any form of 3-point shooting.
It's no planning. It's no planning in the NBA. And they thought, like, and I love it because, like, these super teams, these big markets, it's really the big market teams, Lakers, Nets, you know, they kind of thought they could do this the easy way. It's like, no, at the end of the day, y'all still got to play basketball.
Exactly.
You guys still have to have players who could play. Like, okay, cool. You got one, two guys that can play. I got 3-4 young guys who can ball out. Like, look at the Grizzlies. I got look at the Celtics. I got these young kids who can ball.
Yeah,
and
you
like
know,
who's guarding them? You want to just be lazy? Don't want to play defense? You don't want to hustle? All right.
And you know the funny thing. You know the funny thing, right? Like just going back real quick to the Lakers. You know how they let Caruso walk, right?
Yeah.
Because I believe I think Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, she didn't want to pay the luxury tax paying Caruso, so they were like putting all their chips on Talen Horton Tucker, the young dude, 19-year-old.
THT.
And, you know, as we can see, the dude, he has, like, no basketball IQ, man. He was, like, you know, like, what are you
now
guys
that
doing?
They got their new white guy, Austin Reeves or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Their new, their token white boy now. He's their token white
Doesn't
boy.
Doesn't hit the same.
Doesn't hit the same. He ain't no Alex Caruso.
I think there's one other point to make to that, Ahmed. It's like, I feel like there's just a point where when you assemble these super teams with so many just, you know, good talent, keyword like, you know, asterisks around good, is that, you know, egos get involved too.
Absolutely.
I feel like egos get involved, you know. It's just like it gets to the point where it's like I want to run this team. It's like, well, you know, I'm a superstar too.
They're not hungry,
you know,
anymore.
It's like it's not like that same like grit and determination to just play together. It's like, oh, I want to play my style. Oh, well, fuck your style. I want to do my style.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just, I feel like egos have also just been, you know, just really just ingrained into these super teams. And it's just, you know, it's detrimental to just the foundation of the team.
Facts.
You know?
Everybody needs to take a page out of the Celtics books. All y'all teams.
Yeah. No facts.
Even though I'm against Boston teams.
You know, just draft well.
Yeah.
Seriously, draft well and develop. Like, it doesn't end when the players don't. You gotta develop the player to be a good player. You draft somebody in the top 10, you draft them in a lottery pick. Okay, good. You have the talent there. You see the talent. You see the vision. Develop it. Develop it. Make this player better. Make this player what you want him to be. You know.
Make this player great again.
No, you know the Lakers. You know, going just real quick. The Lakers drafted Mac McClung.
Who?
You guys know who Mac McClung is?
I don't know who that is.
Who?
Yeah.
Professor Klump.
Clunk, Mac McClung. So McClung. Don't get me wrong, he's really good. But you should watch his highlights. He's all right. But here's the thing. He's been known in college just for yamming on motherfuckers.
Yamming on motherfuckers.
He just dunks. Like, you could just watch it. Watch his highlight tape real quick. Mac McClung.
Mac McClung.
Yeah.
Dunk.
Yeah. Nah, Mac McClung. He's Mac.
He plays defense. Mac,
not
Mac.
Mac McClung.
Mac McClung is right there.
Yeah.
Matt or Mac?
Matt McClung can be clung on the rim.
Whoops. Yeah, Mac McClung. He's he can dunk, but I mean dunking's not gonna get you far.
Yeah,
in the
NBA.
That's why he got bullied by the other black kids on the court.
He's from Virginia.
He plays with a chip on his shoulder.
Like I said, he can dunk. He can yam on people. Don't get me wrong, but you know that's not gonna that's not an NBA career for a lot of people if you're just gonna be known for dunking on folks.
So let's take this time now segue into another event we had this week, NBA playoffs we talked about. Now let's talk about the NFL draft. We got the draft rounds 4 through 7 going right now. We had rounds 1, 2, and 3 ending on Thursday and Friday night. And let's talk about it. I mean, we had one of the craziest drafts that goes along with a crazier offseason we had in the NFL. Right off the bat, we had some blockbuster trades that to announce regarding some of our teams. I know, Ahmed, you are a Ravens fan, so we'll start with you. Ravens made a move to get rid of Hollywood Brown for a first-round pick and fourth or something like that. And with that pick, you guys received from traded Hollywood Brown to the Arizona Cardinals. So Hollywood gets to reunite with his old former college quarterback in Kyler Murray and out in the desert. Ravens get a first-round pick out of it. And with that pick, you guys did select offensive lineman Tyler Linderbaum out of Iowa. So I got to just ask you straight up, like, what do you like about the trade? Did you like it? What do you see? And honestly, I got to say, with the Ravens, y'all, that was the second of two first-round picks you guys had. Maybe three, I'm not sure. But two first-round picks you had. The other one you guys took safety out of Notre Dame, Kyle Hamilton, which was my guy. Definitely, he was like the number three ranked. He was definitely a top five player ranked in the draft. Should have went top 10, in my opinion. He should have went top five, in my opinion. But Ravens get him at number 14. So, overall, how are you feeling about this trade and the haul you guys got, giving up Hollywood Brown? To me, I'll be honest, I kind of don't see the trade. I kind of understand it.
Right.
You kind of need receivers. Yes. I would say, I know receivers. You guys drafted Rashad Bateman last year. Yeah. I have high hopes for him. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, let me get the Ravens perspective here.
See, I think the Ravens general manager, Eric DaCosta, I think he made the trade with the assumption that, you know, he'd fill in the hole for, you know, receivers later. Me personally, I think, you know, it was a good trade. It was a mutually beneficial trade because Hollywood, or, you know, as I affectionately know him, Bollywood Brown. You know,
I call him Droppywood.
Yeah, so he did, like, signal to the GM that he wanted a trade, you know, at the end of the season. And, you know how it is in professional sports. If a player doesn't want to play, like, you just got to let him go.
It's crazy, too, that the Ravens, and this is great credit to the Ravens and their front office. Ravens are just a very professional, well-run organization, top-down. Not a peep. No one knew about this. No reporter ever talked about this.
It was news to me.
It was news, yeah. Like, no one saw this coming. I mean, you could see kind of the trend of what was happening with the receivers, like, receivers getting traded. So, like, maybe it could have happened. But the fact that he actually did ask for a trade after the season was over, and no one heard a word of it. Yeah, we have, like, Debo, Tyreek.
AJ Brown's on there, too. We'll get to him in a minute.
Don't spoil the fun. Keep going. We got all these other receivers getting dealt, getting traded, and stuff like that. All on social media. But this was really low key, and it was a beneficial move for both teams. I still don't see it. You said, I guess it gives a fresh start for both teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know, the thing with Hollywood Brown is that, you know, last season he did have his first, I believe, 1,000-yard season.
Oh, wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. So the thing.
Last year was his second year, so, you know.
Third year.
But I think first year, you know, having over 1,000 yards under his belt. But the thing with Hollywood for me is that, you know, we brought him under the assumption that he'd be a wide receiver one. But the problem is he's not playing like a wide receiver one.
Agreed.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Like, I believe he was the first receiver taken in that draft, too. I believe. I'm not sure. I think so.
Could very well be, you know? You know, we probably have to check that. But, you know, you could be right about that, too. And, you know, another thing about Hollywood is that, you know, he's kind of undersized as a receiver.
He's tiny.
Tiny, which isn't a bad thing because, you know,
He got the speed.
He got the speed and, like, a couple players, like, off the top of my head, you know, you had Wes Welker, you have Cole Deshaun Beasley, Jackson. Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the case of, like, Cole Beasley and Wes Welker, you know, them shorter receivers, they operate more under the slot.
But he doesn't.
Mm-hmm. So what happens is, you know, he can't create that separation. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it hasn't been working. And another thing is that, you know, the Ravens' offense isn't, like, structured for him.
Yeah. You know, he wants the ball, and the Ravens are definitely a run-first option. And I think, too, this also kind of brings us back to the conversation regarding Lamar's contract, you know. Hollywood, his contract year is coming up. Lamar still haven't paid him. So this kind of helps shore up more money guaranteed to Lamar. But again, like, I love what the Ravens did. I thought ideally in a stacked wide receiver draft, that's what they've been saying, that the Ravens would kind of like draft his replacement. But no, I think the Ravens know who they are. They're a run first team, and they're going to run the ball. They got running backs for days.
They got a quarterback that can run.
They got a quarterback that can run. They got. They still have a good. They have a great tight end, Mark Andrews. They drafted another tight end. We just saw recently Isaiah Likely out of Coastal Carolina, and they. I mean, and they got a great wide receiver one now in Rashad Bateman, who I think will be a great receiver. I don't know who's going to play opposite of him. But you might not need anybody to play opposite of him. The Ravens have shown that the way they run their offense and run the ball, that might be all they need. But can you keep Lamar upright is the question. That's why I do kind of like the pick with the center from Iowa.
Yes, yes.
So that's what I kind of see the vision. And that's why I love the draft. I love the draft. I love that you could get to see the vision that some teams do. We'll talk about some winners and losers. But I definitely got the Ravens as a pretty solid winner. I think this next trade was definitely the big blockbuster trade that kind of shocked us all.
Omar, take it away.
You already know. Me and my guy, Mohamed, over here. I'm going to need you to stand up for Philadelphia one time. Let's get it. We got A.J. Brown with a trade for the 18th pick that we had in the first round. $57 million in guaranteed money. We dropped the bag on him. $100 million for a wide receiver. Pairing him up with Devontae Smith, Zach Pascal, and Dallas Goedert. What do you think we're going to do with this? I think we're going to go to the Super Bowl.
We're going to the Super Bowl, baby. Yeah, of course.
We're definitely going to the damn Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness. Holy shit, man. About time I can fucking feel confident about this team when talking about them in the podcast. This was a really big blockbuster trade. And good for Howie Roseman. I mean, to get that trade. I showed you guys the Titans war room after they made that trade. Mike Vrabel did not look happy. He had to trade away his number one receiver.
He was pissed as shit.
Get over that shit. They got Malik Willis.
Yeah, they got Malik. Yeah. He's like, I probably should have drafted the quarterback first before I made this trade. No, but absolutely, I think the Eagles compared to last season, especially Howie Roseman, his draft, the way he drafted in the last couple of years, you know, going quarterback, Jalen Reagor, much better draft this season. With all those picks, we've made the right moves. We got A.J. Brown, and we got Kazir White, and I believe... Oh, we got Jordan Davis. We drafted Jordan Davis. Let's not forget. Good luck running the ball on us. We also got a center as well.
To me, definitely another big winner here. I mean, this just screams to me that the Eagles... I mean, again, we talked about it was a really deep draft class and when it comes to receivers. I thought Eagles could go a lot of different places. I thought they could have... I really thought Jameson Williams was going to be there for you guys for the taking. I thought he was going to be there for you guys for the taking.
But instead he was not.
He was not. He goes to the Lions, a pick after Chris Olave goes to the Saints. I think Howie Roseman's been listening to the fans, clearly.
And he's been listening to the pod.
He's been listening to the pod, clearly. And he does not want to go for, let me try to draft a receiver. Failed with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Failed with Jalen Reagor. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside actually moved to tight end, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's about to be a fit. Just cut him. He's got to get cut. But this just goes to show you he'd rather have a true proven receiver, and he's getting that in A.J. Brown. The money on top of it, A.J. Brown, first wide receiver domino to fall, getting a big extension with the Eagles, 4 years, $100 million contract, $57 million guaranteed. Eagles just like this is as star-studded, bona fide, like big baller move as I've seen in the last few years.
Not only that, like we also hit in the draft too. Like the Jordan Davis pick, that's a huge pick. First of all, good luck running the ball in the Eagles next year. Like you know what I'm saying, like they're gonna hike the ball. This man's just not gonna move. Number two, we got N'Kobe Dean.
Oh, and Eagles that's right. Did.
Yeah, we got a linebacker.
N'Kobe Dean did fall to the Eagles in this draft.
Georgia boy. Shitty linebacker play, right? You know what I'm saying? We have fucking Alex Singleton. We got Nate the Snake Gary last few years.
Both terrible linebackers.
We haven't had solid linebacker play since, you know, Nigel Bradham. And shout out to Nigel Bradham. The only thing is he couldn't catch. So, I mean.
Hey, bro. All I'm going to say is this. It's a run. No. It's a pass.
It's a pass, boy. It's a pass.
Pass now.
We're not going to have that problem anymore.
Here's the only thing I will say regarding A.J. Brown. The biggest issue with me and A.J. Brown, I think this is a home run trade. This scares me as a Washington Commanders fan right now. Honestly, this scares me. I'm kind of worried about the Eagles. Eagles are making really big moves here. But the only thing that kind of works in my favor and what should scare some Eagles fans, the medicals on A.J. Brown.
Okay? Yeah.
I don't think he's played a full season. I'm not sure. He may have played one full season out of his 3 years in the NFL. He does seem to be a little bit injury prone to me, per se. But it's great because he has Devontae Smith there. They did sign Zach Pascal, as you guys mentioned. This is a scary season in Philadelphia. It's a scary season in Philadelphia. KG, let's go to you and the Giants. The Giants had a lot to do.
Yeah.
A lot of holes to fill.
We have the a lot. We got a news, lot of picks.
The big news, I think, coming from the Giants camp was declining to pick up
the fifth-year option.
Fifth-year option on Daniel Jones. So that kind of adds a little more interesting complexity to what the Giants want to do. But so far in the draft,
I mean, QBs picked up.
You guys didn't get a QB, which I'm also surprised by.
Yeah.
But you guys, top two picks in the top 10, you guys take Kayvon Thibodeau, DN, going to be a game wrecker.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me, he's going to pair perfectly with Leonard Williams on the defensive front.
For sure.
And then taking offensive tackle Evan Neal out of Alabama.
Yeah.
Just to help keep Daniel Jones upright. And, you know, this might not be a bad thing that you guys didn't pick up, Daniel Jones as a fifth-year option. You know, now you guys are giving Daniel Jones, you still have Kadarius Toney there, still have Saquon, still have Kenny Galladay.
I think Kadarius is asking for a trade, too, for real.
Think you guys would trade him right now, honestly.
I would ask for a trade if Daniel Jones is my quarterback.
Here's the thing, too. So, like, this could be kind of like a Kirk Cousins, you're betting on yourself type year from Daniel Jones.
You know,
Daniel Jones could possibly get a new contract still. It doesn't seem likely, but it's still possible he get a new contract. And also, you guys have a guy that Brian Daboll is very familiar with from his time in Buffalo, in Tyrod Taylor. So, I think what the Giants did here, Wandale Robinson, wide receiver at Kentucky, too, that's a great pick in the second round, I believe. Yeah. You know, so you guys, I think, did a really good job adding, like, a lot of talent to your team and adding depth, adding playmakers to your team. And that is something that I think if you're a Giants fan, you really like to see, because you guys add talent on both ends, both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, like, you know, we're actually, you know, like you said, both sides of the ball. You know, we've been drafting, you know, people for our offensive line. We've drafted people for our defense, and it's pretty much what we need, you know, specifically the offensive line, too.
I was surprised you guys got Kayvon Thibodeau. I thought he might have went a little bit earlier.
That's what I was saying with the draft. Like, when the draft went Trayvon Walken and Aiden Hutchinson, and then the two corners went back-to-back, Sauce Gardner and then Derek Stingley.
They literally go by rank.
I could they were literally taking best available, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, this is crazy. So, I mean, the Giants got blessed with Thibodeau, and then getting Neal, too.
Oh, by the way, just real quick, this is kind of like something like off to the side. Kayvon Thibodeau has no relation to Tom Thibodeau, right?
No.
The last names, I think, are spelled differently.
Yeah, he has an X. Thibodeau.
Yeah, just a U.
Yeah, Kayvon's Thibodeau kind of gives me like Louisiana vibes.
He gives me Atlanta vibes. I thought that dude was getting drafted by the Falcons straight up. Like, Drake London getting drafted by Atlanta, I did not see that coming. And he just does not take me for an Atlanta type of dude. This dude gives me like he's such a Cali dude, honestly. But Drake London was the first receiver taken. For the Commanders, I gotta say, our team, we traded back. We had our pick at 11. We could have taken Chris Olave. Could have taken Jameson Williams. I know the injury concern with Jameson Williams there. But we traded back, 16th pick. Missed out on two picks. Kyle Hamilton. Ahmed, I'm telling you, man, I'm so mad about that Kyle Hamilton pick, bro. I'm so mad about it. That's the guy I wanted so badly. He was there for our taking. But that guy is going to be great for you.
No,
think
you guys
Cam Chancellor. I think Cam Chancellor when I see Kyle Hamilton running around out there.
Y'all got a good.
Yeah, no, but I like our draft. I really like our draft. Now when I see the whole of it, each pick individually might not really like excite me. I like the Jahan Dotson pick. He was definitely the best receiver that we wanted available. It was either him or Treylon Burks. So take your pick. Outside of that, I like our draft as a whole. As I mentioned, we got a run-stuffing tackle from Alabama in the second round. He's going to replace Deron Payne, who definitely seems like he's leaving. Got Brian Robinson Jr. You can still see that we still have that Alabama connection. Mm-hmm. We still want to be that Washington Crimson Tide. So we got a running back in Brian Robinson Jr., who will definitely help take the load off of Antonio Gibson in the ground game, another weapon for Wentz and the offense. And then my favorite pick so far has been in the fifth round. We had two picks in the fifth round, getting Sam Howell, quarterback. Sam Howell, we got a quarterback to drop to us. I think this is exactly what we wanted, and it got also got a tight end. Just a 6'7 tight end, okay. 6'7, 250. Okay, like, we got Wentz weapons, and I think I love the pick. My favorite pick so far is definitely the Sam Howell pick. Getting Sam Howell in the fifth round, I think, is an absolute steal for what this organization and what Ron Rivera wants to do down the line. I'm really excited. I'm really excited for the football season to come along, man. There's going to be a lot of parity around the league. There's going to be a lot of parity around the league, I think. I think the Washington Commanders will be a good football team. I like what the NFC East did. I really like what the NFC East did. So let's talk about right now. Let's talk about some winners and losers in this draft. And I mentioned it right away, guys. I love what the Eagles did.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
You know, they came in with 3 first-round picks. You guys flipped one for another first-round pick next year. So you guys have 2 first-round picks next year. And somehow, some way, still ended up with A.J. Brown. And a first-round pick.
That's pretty fucking insane, yeah.
And the biggest fucking player in the
You guys are playing chess, not checkers. Like, it's crazy. So, I got another big W. I'll give 2 other teams. Ravens, I think, getting rid of Hollywood Brown, getting Kyle Hamilton and Tyler Linderbaum. That's a really solid haul for the Ravens. And then my last team is the Jets. Jets came in with a lot of draft capital, and
I think
first 10 picks,
yeah,
they come away with Sauce Gardner,
great pick,
1 rated corner, yeah, and they get Garrett Wilson, a great wide receiver to pair with Zach Wilson. So I'm really excited to see what we're gonna get out of the NFL. You know,
who's the other Jackson? Wide? Oh, my bad. Who's the other wide receiver on the Jets? Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore.
Yeah, he's second year.
Corey Davis is on the Jets. Keelan Cole, I believe, still on the Jets too.
They might have made a few moves. I like them too.
Yeah, no, I like what they did. I really like what the Jets did.
What do you think about the Jags? Just a consensus from everyone.
The Jags did phenomenal.
Look,
man.
I've been on record, like I told you guys in the last pod, man. I like what I see from the Jaguars. I respect Doug Peterson as a coach. That's the right coach for that team. They got ETN coming back. They draft Trayvon Walker. This guy is like athletic freak.
They had the real Josh Allen. Upside.
They got Josh Allen, man. I like what the Jags did. I really. Oh, and they got Devin Lloyd. Devin Lloyd, number one linebacker. They got rid of Miles Jack. So Devin Lloyd coming in instead of Miles Jack. I really like what I've seen from a lot of these teams in the draft. You know, I really like it. I really like what I've seen. And it just gets me closer and closer. Gets us closer and closer to football season, bro.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, it's hard for me to kind of get. Obviously, I'm going to say the Eagles for sure because, like, that's a big draft day move. The Jets are up there. But to be honest, man, I just can't wait to see these guys play so I can really be like, all right, who really won this draft?
Yeah. It's all nice and good when it's on paper, but you actually got to
exactly,
see it.
Exactly.
You got to see it for yourself.
But this is why I love the draft. Like, I can see, at least you can kind of map out and see a vision that your team is going in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said I really, at first, individually, I didn't like the picks the Commanders made. I could have liked, if they went different direction, I could have liked, I liked other picks better. But now, as a whole, I see the draft. I really see the vision. I like our picks. Eagles, for example, you see the vision that they wanted to get to. They didn't want to settle for developing a wide receiver in the draft, drafting a young guy.
That has not been working.
That hasn't been working. And shout out to Howie Roseman for saying, you know, I'd rather get a stud guy in A.J. Brown rather than deal with developing a receiver that hasn't kind of worked in our favor.
Like, we turned J.J. Arcega-Whiteside into a tight end.
So A.J. Brown's on the move. Now we got to look at what does this mean for a dude, Deebo Samuel, who said he doesn't want to play for the 49ers again. 49ers are adamant they're not going to trade him.
Assholes.
Yeah. John Lynch is definitely racist.
So it's either they got to pay up the $25 million or you got to trade him. In this draft, we also saw teams, other wide receiver need teams who we were linked to a lot of these star receivers get drafted. For example, Packers got their guy in Christian Watson.
Did they pick up a wide receiver as well?
I was about to just bring that up. Yeah. Oh, they did? They finally picked up a wide receiver? Yeah, I was kind of surprised they never picked up like a guy to literally
They got Adams.
They also traded. They had another wide receiver. I really want to say they got Sammy Watkins, I think.
They signed Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins. I feel like one more. I could be wrong. No, I think
it was the Packers signed Sammy Watkins?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Not bad.
And the Chiefs, they drafted, I believe, Sky Moore. Or they
also got George Karlaftis.
Karlaftis, I think that's how you say his name.
I'm surprised he dropped that low.
Yeah, I mean,
I had him going like top 20, like my mock, you know, my mock draft.
But no, it's exciting. I love it. The draft time is here. We had some great picks. John Mechie to the Texans, another great pick.
Oh, yeah, a Maryland native. Yeah. A Maryland native, a friend of Taiwan.
George Pickens. Tight end, right? George Pickens to the Steelers, great pick.
Well, they also got Kenny Pickett.
They did get Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. First
Kenny
QB Pickett to was go.
First QB taken, the first QB taken this year.
You know, I don't want to toot my horn or nothing, but I predicted that in my mock draft. I did at work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let the Pittsburgh boys stay in Pittsburgh, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, all right, you already know how where the wind is in the stadium. You know how to fucking, you know, sling the thing over here.
He's familiar with the Steelers.
He's familiar with the cold.
All right, guys, but I mean that's gonna wrap it up for our NFL draft update for you guys. Excited for the football season coming up, and let's get some calls going on.
Yeah, Conor McGregor, you're taking everything I work for, motherfucker. I'm gonna fight your
you know. It's call outs.
It's call out time, ladies and gentlemen. You already know before we wrap it up. Let's start bashing some people right here, right now. I'll go first, man. First and foremost, talking on this pod, it made me realize who I'm going to bash. Who I'm calling out. Steve Nash.
Ooh.
Steve Nash, come Steve up Nash, here right where now.
Are you? Coming in hard.
Steve Nash, where are you? I loved you as a player, man. You were the first player I loved watching basketball, man. You got me into basketball. I loved Steve Nash. Huge fan of Steve Nash. You and Dwayne Wade were my guys. But now in the coaching room, man, what are you doing?
Soft.
You got a great team. You got some of the best players, all-star team pretty much on your bench, and you don't know how to use them. Get the rotations right, man. You're over here doing TikToks while your team was down 3-0. Come on, Nick. Come on, Steve Nash, bro.
Wait, he was doing TikToks?
Man, that's what I saw.
Oh, shit.
He just seems like that kind of guy. You got to do better. Ever since you hugged KD in that game last year, bro, you haven't been the same. Get your shit up, bro. Get your shit up, Steve Nash, because Steve Kerr is walking all over you. All these ex-players. Who's the dude on the Pelicans? Is it the Pelicans?
Which guy?
Oh, Willie Green. That's the coach. The Pelicans coach is Willie Green. He's walking all over you. Come on, man. Come on, Steve Nash. Former MVP my ass, bro. Come on.
This group is not waiting for you.
It's not. They're not. You're cut, Steve Nash.
You're cut.
You might be done after
Get
this
your
year,
shit
bro.
And leave.
This group is not waiting for you.
All right. My call out is Ben Simmons and Kyrie. I mean, I already said what I had to say about Kyrie earlier, his vaccination and status and all that stuff.
Tell us how you really feel about Ben Simmons.
But Ben Simmons, though, man. Oh, my God, dude. You literally are just... What's going on in your head, man? Like, you literally are just on the sideline looking like a pack of Skittles and not helping your team out. You know? Like, this trade, you wanted to be traded, bro. You wanted to be traded. And... You had, like, this whole fallout with Doc Rivers and Doc Rivers telling you to get out of the court because you didn't want to do some drills and whatnot, dude. Like, and then you finally get what you wanted. You reach the promised land. You get to play with KD. You get to play with Kyrie. You get to play with a legendary former MVP as your coach, Steve Nash. You know, you have all the things laid out on the table in front of you. And what do? You sit out the whole season looking like a bag of Skittles. On the damn side bench.
I think it was Barstool posted a picture where it was like a meme. It was basically, you know, the four guys who are dressed in camo. Mm-hmm. And they're holding guns ready for action. And you got the one guy in the middle dressed up as a clown.
Jeff is a clown. No, that's Ben Simmons.
You saw a picture of Ben Simmons?
Yeah, man. Like,
No, don't sweep my team.
No, like, don't get me wrong, man. Like, if he's got, like, you know, I'm sure he has, like, some issues. He's got some mental health issues. Like, I get that.
The
you know
city of Philadelphia mentally scarred him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's funny because he was a part of the team. He was a part of a Philadelphia franchise. He usually be able to take that type of treatment from the fans. Except for Ben Simmons and Jalen Rager. Because Jalen Rager always shuts off.
They never talked to him like this in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so Ben Simmons, look, man, if you want to, get your shit together. And if you honestly have a future in this NBA career path of yours, man, you got to play, man. You got to suck shit up. You got to fucking deal with it, bro. Like, this is what this league is for. That's my take. Come on, Ben Simmons.
All right, I'm going to call out Joel Embiid. You know, you might be the leader of this Philadelphia 76ers team, but at crucial moments in each year, you always just find a way to get injured, unfortunately. You have a right orbital fracture. You broke your eye somehow. Like Muhammad said, you know, put the face mask on. You'll be good. A concussion, slight concussion. But I'm also looking at over here a list of your injuries. You just keep, you know, can't keep it healthy for potentially, like, you know, very important parts of the season. But at the same time, you'll be good. But I'm calling you out, though. Stay healthy.
I see what, just real quick. Knee.
Health and safety.
Right knee. knee, right knee.
You gonna call
those are all from 2021, though.
Yeah.
You gonna call it a man for being human?
Back. Oh, he does have a lot of back problems. Damn, knee. Dude, what's good with your knee, bro?
All right, yeah, here it is, guys.
Basketball's a physical game. Go ahead.
I'm gonna call out Carl Anthony Towns, the player formerly known as Cat. Yeah, bro. Like, I need you to stop bitching. I need you to stop missing. I need you to be more clutch. Like, man, going back, last week you called the Timberwolves for Pat Beverly. For all of them celebrating. Man, it wasn't just Pat Beverly. It was all those motherfuckers.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah. Especially Cat.
They're following Pat's lead.
Yeah, and, like, this motherfucker, Cat, bro, like, you're going to blow kisses to the fans after blowing a 10-point fourth quarter lead in an elimination game.
They did the hush joint.
My man, where the fuck were you in the last few minutes of the game? I don't know, bro. Like, I wouldn't call it the whole Timberwolves because, like, they gave up a fucking, like, double-digit lead every single game. And, yeah, man, it's like they just stall out. Like, you know, at the very end of the game, they're just trying to run out the clock and just not score points. Get Anthony Edwards out of there. Everybody but Anthony Edwards. Essentially,
Anthony Edwards is a great player. Great player. Yeah.
It should be his team.
Yeah. Honestly, it should.
That's the leader.
Yeah.
Also, y'all saw that interview where Cat like changed his voice to try to sound tough.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Not fucking tough, boy.
He was better. He was better in 2016, 2017 when he was 21 years old. Mm-hmm. Can't do it at 26 though.
Yeah.
Ahmed, who are you calling out?
All right. You know what? I'll stick to the coaching circles for this one, and I'll call out Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse.
Oh.
I mean, listen, look, game, what was it, game, help me out here.
Game six, right?
Your team was down 3-0, you're trying to make it 3-3, okay? Halftime, the score is 62-61 for the Sixers.
It was close.
So you're heading into the third quarter, right? You got to get these guys, like, you know, going, you know?
Motivated, energized.
Exactly, get them invigorated. The dude never called a timeout in the third quarter. Sixers went on an enormous run, ended up winning the game 132 to, like, 97. What, 97, yeah. Right? Like, come on, man. Like, hey, look, listen, you're a championship pedigree head coach, man. You see the Sixers are making a run, right? You see the Raptors are missing all their threes. Call a timeout. Stop the momentum.
That was like, I think the Minnesota coach did that, too. He gave up a 20. They were up, like 20-something in one of the games, and then they let him come back.
Yeah, like
they did not call it. They went up like a 21-0 run. And not call a timeout at all.
Yeah, like yo, look, you're an NBA head coach. You know, you got to get a.
You see what's going
game.
On? Yeah, you got
what's going
you,
on. Right?
With the fans, see what's going on, bro.
Call a timeout. Kill the momentum.
And stop bitching about calls.
Yeah.
And besides that, we kind of wanted it for the memes, man. The first NBA team to come back from a 3-0 lead.
I was, and
you had all the perfect ingredients, Doc. Yep. He's the only head coach in NBA history to blow three in 1 week.
Yep.
He almost did it again.
It was there. It was there for a taking, but they didn't want to do it.
Exactly.
All right, y'all. That's going to wrap up on one of the other, or another one of our installments of Stay the Franchise podcast. Check us out again. We'll talk more NBA playoffs. Hopefully, we get some great second round playoff basketball coming your way. Remember, we got Suns, Mavs, Warriors, Grizzlies, Celtics, Bucks, tips off tomorrow, 1 o'clock, and then Heat and Sixers. From State of Franchise Pod, Ahmed, thank you again for joining us. Come back whenever, man. We're going to be here. Yeah. You know we do our grind, man. But come back whenever. All right, guys, take it easy.
Goodbye. Peace out.